Did you hear they changed the name from Survivor Worlds Apart to Survivor Twizzlers?
Twizzlers? I didn't see any Twizzlers. Was that product placement or something I
missed? Not Twizzlers, Twistlers, because there were so many twists.
Oh, Twistlers.
Armchair Survivor with Marjorie and Michael Carino.
I am honest and I have integrity. Really?
It's not affecting anyone other than people.
I think your fandom made them think.
Your ego precedes you by 10 miles.
Survivor thing.
Join them at armchairsurvivor.com.
I probably should prepare for the jury.
Hello, Armchair Survivor folks. I'm Michael Carino. Over there is Margie Carino. Yes, we have her in the studio for real this time.
Woohoo!
We're sorry we missed last week. Unfortunately, scheduling was that we were both out with two different kids, two different places all last week. I think we saw each other for maybe an hour last weekend.
We have a goal now. I think our kids are trying to figure out how many million activities they can be in.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
During each season.
It's
difficult.
They're
successful, so.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get through it.
They're our retirement plan. All righty. Well, what happened on Survivor? We had some pretty cool things that happened over the last couple of weeks on Survivor, and we also have a letter from somebody who hates me, but that's okay because he likes you.
Aw, I like him too. It's been good, though this week's episode has to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, there are a lot of twists.
Wow.
And stuff. I am enjoying the twists and some nukes for Survivor twists too.
Yeah, creative. I'd love to see like the creative team for Survivor just talk through stuff, wouldn't you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I would love to be in on that. Those are meetings. Those are things that I love to see in action.
Yeah.
I always like seeing the creative process on a lot of things. And for example, this morning I was watching Modern Marvels about Disney. Now, granted, I have taken my pot shots at Disney because I do think that they have some evil tendencies, but I also think that they are masters at a lot of their other tendencies. Like, I've got this love-hate relationship with Disney, and the things that they do well, I just love watching them do. I mean, they're just really, it's amazing what they do, and I like the attitude they have on it.
And they're nice to you once you pay them all that money, but at least it's right. A good experience.
They know how to pick your pockets. They know how to poorly influence your kids. But at the same time, when you're in their hands, you feel like you're the only woman in the world.
I wouldn't put it that way. I don't know.
Okay. So anyway, let's go back to last week really quickly. Unfortunately, Joe was voted off, which really kind of was upsetting. This took my top four, who were Kelly, Joe, Caroline, and Mike, down to two.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah,
tick.
It was difficult. And the thing, now, I think it was a good idea for them to do that for them. I don't like it.
I agree.
But Joe was definitely a threat. He was very much a threat. And he was a physical threat and he was a social threat because unlike Mike or unlike Rodney, Joe actually knew how to keep his cool and keep people happy for the most part.
He made his blunders at the same time.
Not nearly so much.
No, but I'm saying he wasn't
Mike
perfect.
Or Rodney.
I have a feeling we'll see Joe again.
On another,
Joe's too much the,
the
young, sweet, sexy guy who loves Survivor, and it didn't finish for him.
Yeah, but it didn't finish for him for the right reasons, though, too.
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the things about him was that, you know, for getting voted out this early in the game, it was for all the right reasons for Survivor.
Well, it was, so yeah. I'm sad to see him go.
But let's not dwell on the past. Let's dwell on the very, very non-distant
present.
Past. Yeah, the
for us, it was this morning.
Past. Yeah,
indeed. All right, so I want to know if Trader Jeff's is in any problem, because Trader Jeff and Trader Joe's is a little little too close.
I wonder if that was a product placement in itself.
I wonder too.
But on the other hand, I don't know if it was that close. It was
no. It was funny and it was clever and yeah. It was like got a good grin.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, the auction, they got their money in their bags. So it's like, something's going to happen. And it was a good one. The first one where Will gets up there and Will plays a good game of being this, poor me. I'm just this, not naive, but just, poor me to just trying to play this game to sharp tongued Will. But we get the Will looks like he's hungry, his clothes are hanging off of him, so he goes up there and hands his money over, and Jeff gives him this clue. So he's like, everyone's like, darn, ooh, we were going for that, it's a clue. He reads it. Should be your first clue, because you're never allowed to read or tip, because you're never allowed to read the clue.
Yeah, when he said go back to your seat and read that, I thought, what's going on here?
And then he unrolls it and, does the dramatic grasping of the hand, the forehead and eyes. And I just got out of, bought myself out of the auction. And dramatically gets up and walks away. And you think, poor Will. My God, dude, it wasn't the biggest thing on earth. You got out of the auction. It's not like you had to eat gross food. My God, he made it seem like, poor me. Poor Will. I mean, God, get out of the auction. Get out.
I think they should put a fourth thing. You know, they have outwit, outplay, outlast. They should also have outdramatize.
I agree.
I think this episode, lots of drama that was extended past logic. But anyway, go on. And that was the first one. Yes, I agree.
So I don't know if he's just trying to buy which we didn't have last season, the people's vote. Or, Will.
Didn't have a people's vote last season?
Sprint's favorite. Sprint must be not doing so well, people. We better get on their phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Uh-huh. And I haven't seen any of the text this to Sprint type of thing.
Mm-mm. So yeah. I don't know if he thinks it's coming back and he's pushing for that. I don't know.
No. Well, not this week. He's not going to get that.
Better not.
Yeah.
So then Shirin, you have chicken and waffles, carbs. You've got your protein. You've got your fat. I'm like, she raises her hand, $300, done. Give me my food. She plays her own game pretty well. I am not going for the advantage, people. Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those people in my office who, they want
all the executives to know what things they're doing.
Well, not even the executives, but, everyone's talking and you're talking in a normal voice till it's time to, off I go to get the project done for CEO.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go talk to the executive, the vice president of bullshit. Yes, I talk to him all the time.
And it's whatever people want to do, it's. I think a technique more people do than not, but it's so obvious. So Shirin, mm-hmm. so much for being subtle, but she takes her food, she sits down, she's good to go.
Yeah.
So Jeff gets wind of this all because he's like, okay, so Dan, Mama C, and Mike are pretty much, we're getting nothing. We only want the advantage.
Right.
Everyone else gets food. What on earth did Jen get? A big tumbler of punch?
She got a big drink. I think it was a margarita or something. I don't
sangria?
Know what it was. Yeah. It was.
How did that drink was bigger than her head?
Well, the problem is that to me would, I could not imagine that being good. I mean, it might taste good, but the thing is, though, it's not food. I don't know about you, but I mean, I like alcohol plenty, but the thing is, though, I need to have food with it. I can't, I'm not the type of guy who will sit there frequently on, like a start at noon on Saturday and be drinking beer while I'm doing my work. I like booze, but I like it at night when I'm finished doing my stuff and when I can eat with it too.
Well, that are okay. I'm starving. I'm doing all this stuff. oh, please give me alcohol. It's like, oh, no, could I have, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was the last thing, and she was just like, oh, God, I need something. So she got to eat the fruit out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
Then the loved one challenge, or the auction comes up, and there's letters from your loved ones.
Yeah.
Sharon, bless you for bringing this up. She goes, listen, in the past, you've been able to buy your loved one letter for whatever the highest bid was. And sure enough, those people believed her.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff was nodding his head on that, too.
I don't think until the end. He nods his head for everything, though. He wasn't given the, yep, you're good to go. He was just, oh.
Well, was it true? I'm pretty sure it was true, wasn't it?
Well, just like everything. It's not, everything's not the same each time.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like there never was a food reward during this challenge that voted you out of the auction.
Vote, yeah, it just told you you bought your way out of the auction.
Yes. So, and then I'm thinking to myself, if that were the case, Sharon, I'm surprised you didn't say, okay, so I'll take the first thing and run up for $20.
Well, no, but the thing is that you had, what she didn't want them to do was to run the bidding up. And so what she wanted somebody to do is just do the minimum bid and leave it at that.
I know, but wouldn't you be like, okay, I'm going to start $20. Because then for sure you get your letter. She was taking a risk letting the other girl get the letter.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, what kind
of... She wouldn't have gotten the letter.
Well, okay, here's the thing about that. And this is something... Yeah, I think that the letters from home are good. But here's the thing that kind of got me about that. And I wanted to clarify this with you in case I ever get on Survivor. If I go on Survivor, I will miss you. I will miss you and the kids. I will miss a few other people here. The problem with that whole sequence is that if it is the known thing that the letter from home is the biggest thing, what happens is that's something your opponents know about you that they can use against you. And so my thinking is that if I were ever to do Survivor, what I would probably want to do is I wouldn't want to make it clear. In fact, I'll make it clear with you right now. If I ever do Survivor, I might pass on that. Not because I wouldn't want to have that letter. I might pass on it if it had some strategic advantage because of the fact that...
it wouldn't do well for you because then it looks like you're just some cold, callous jackass.
Well, I mean, I would try to explain it to the cameras and stuff like that. But because you get the confessionals. The point is that that wouldn't be important to me as much as it is that I would know that you knew that I did it for strategic purposes and it wasn't because I didn't miss you. That's the main thing I want to get across to you, is that if I did that, if I go on Survivor and I don't do that, it would be because it's one leg up on people that already is assumed that people, you know, like it's almost assumed, like it's almost like cutting oxygen off to people. Well, guess what? I can breathe oxygen.
I don't think that at all. I think it shows that that person is a human. That person knows what's important in life, and it's not the game of Survivor. And it shows that, you know what? I love my family to all the world.
Yeah, but the point is
this. Well, I'm telling you, because you're allowed to have your opinion. We both watch Survivor, right? Right. So you may think that what you're portraying is that way. I'm telling you how I would see it as being portrayed, and therefore you might reconsider if you're ever on Survivor doing that, because you're going to alienate 50% and you may win 50%.
But the thing, I think that if I ever go on Survivor, I want you to know that's the thing. It's not because I don't miss you; it's because it's a strategic move.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not a good strategic move because I'm not looking at it as a strategic move.
Okay.
If I were watching you, I'd be like, "You're a jackass. You can't even recognize and acknowledge that I'm here at home taking care of every fucking thing for you, and you're on there." And granted, it's not luxury, but it's certainly not the same.
That's right. I don't have to take kids to stuff. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I do.
I'm not saying
that's
that.
That's all I do.
What I'm saying is that...
I'm telling you.
Okay. I just want you to know. I guess that if when I get back from Survivor, we'll have to fight it out about it, despite the fact that I have put out the disclaimer years before. Might be lifetimes before I'd ever get on Survivor.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that anytime you can
I heard, you know what? I heard you. So let's go on with the show. Okay. All right. So Shireen knows how to play the game. She tells everyone. They listen to her. Woohoo! Everyone gets to get their loved one letter for $10, $20.
$20, yeah.
Mike knows they all hate him. Mike is not hate him. Mike knows they're all against him. Mike hears them talking, saying, "We have to get Mike out." And then they all stare at Mike and go, "What? You're not getting your letter? Man, I don't trust you." I'm surprised he didn't look at them all and go, "Well, which part of me should trust the four of you that were talking out on the beach saying that I should be voted out?" And stare right at Caroline.
Yeah. The problem is Mike is not a good communicator is the problem.
Oh, I don't think he's not a good communicator.
His timing sucks. I like Mike and he's still one of my favorites to win, but he doesn't have any finesse with his communication.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all.
I think Joe had finesse with his communication.
I think they both have finesse with their communication.
Okay. I think Carolyn has more finesse with her communication. But anyway, go ahead.
I do not. Carolyn's just in the right spot when she has people on her side right now. Mm-hmm. Because she's fell into the right spot at the right time. She didn't do anything to orchestrate it.
I think Carolyn understands where her shut up button is most of the time, which I think is the one of the things that and as much as I get upset with the white collars, a good white collar person knows when to shut. Well, good anyone should know when to shut up. But I think that one, especially a woman in a corporate world, and I say that only because unfortunately, and I say this underline the word unfortunately, the corporate world is still a boys' club. Luckily, something's being done about that slowly but surely. But the thing is, though, is that Carolyn seems to be a seasoned woman in the corporate world, in that boys' club, and I think she has demonstrated good shut-up button. And the reason why I think that's the case is because we don't talk about her much with saying stupid things or opening her mouth at the wrong time. If you notice, we haven't talked about her.
It showed her
because
the first.
She hasn't made those mistakes.
We don't talk about that other girl I don't even know Sierra because they don't show her.
But when they do show her every once in a while, she doesn't seem to be that strategic.
She doesn't talk. Neither does Carolyn much.
Well, that's part of the game. I mean, remember Kim. Kim was horribly boring to watch, but she was strategically right on target and she won the game. I mean, mustache and all.
She had an awful mustache.
Indeed. She's a great player. Great player.
I think you might want to remember the Mark Burnett factor and what they edit and show you on TV is not the whole picture.
True, but I think there must be some truth to the edit.
So, okay.
Okay.
Because we've never seen people edited or disinterpreted.
No, not at all.
Never.
No, Adam turned out to be a really nice guy and didn't beat my ass.
All right, so Mike then, I don't know if I agree with him or don't agree with him. It probably was the best move, then went up and got his letter. I wanted Jeff to look at Carolyn and go, "No, honey, it's not give back auction. You bought it. It's yours." Because she's like, "I'm going to give back my letter then." You don't get to give back your fucking items.
There were two parts to this I didn't like, okay? And both were on Jeff. One, I agree with you. I think that he should have said, okay, nope, you bought it. It's done. The second thing is that Jeff got involved with the gameplay because Jeff did when Mike stopped by stopped going toward him and walked away, Jeff did the, I forgot, it was something like, whoa, or something, Jeff interjected drama into the thing at a point where he should have just let the survivors done that. And I think that he laid the guilt on Mike, and really that's not his place to do that. I very rarely throw fault at Jeff, but that's one where I think Jeff should have pushed his shut up button, to be honest with you.
I think he did intervene a little bit too much on that one. I wonder if there's a little bit of duty because everyone thinks that he bought it and he walked up there. So if they don't see him not buying it, what?
I keep on going.
They don't see him not biting. So just like if you went up and you went to get the food, everyone would see that you didn't carry the food back. And it's like, you didn't buy it then.
But they can find that out for themselves. For everyone else's case. Or
not, you know, really, because people weren't holding their letters, waving them.
The thing was that most of them were watching Mike walk back.
Well, then they were stupid to not catch on.
Well, that's their problem. And the second thing is that Mike could have been just getting up to walk around to try to get a wedgie out nicely. I mean, it just is.
Oh, because you know what? When the three of them were talking and saying, we're all going to do it, and he said yes, ironically, he was going to then go, you know what?
You've never taught third graders, have you?
No, and I've never said, oh, yes, and then get walked around to get a wedgie out of my butt.
I think that Mike had a not-so-bad strategy, but he played it so poorly that it became a horrible strategy.
And I do think that Jeff should not have intervened.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we're in agreement on that part.
Yes.
Ooh, I got you to speak about Jeff in a non-positive fashion.
He was still darn adorable while he was doing it. That's all that matters.
Okay, got it.
I hope a Trader Jeff's comes to our neighborhood.
That's true. Maybe they'll put one in Montrose Mall or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. So Mike gets a letter. It ends awkwardly ugly.
Yes.
We span over and see that Will comes back to camp and there's a clue. And the clue leads him to a cooler of food.
Yeah.
Will, in his quoting of doing the right thing, the golden rule, and brings the food out for all to share.
Now, this, we'll keep on going because this whole thing turned so 180 degrees.
Yeah, so yeah. They get back to camp. And
we should name that. This is what we should call this show, 180 degrees.
So Will gets, or everyone comes back to camp and Will shares the note and shows how he's so,
magnanimous.
Thank you. It's easy to say, I know. And he is sharing all his food with them.
Yeah.
Of course, we forget Jen doesn't eat beef jerky, so that's not very nice to her.
Oh, wait. Oh, that's right.
You can have the first piece of beef jerky. Thanks, you callous ass. I told you I don't eat meat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Because he's Mr. Sensitive. He plays a really chameleon game. He pretends he's Mr. Giving and here, and then he remembers nothing about you. I mean, what else do you have to do there but learn about these people? And you can't remember she doesn't eat meat? Weirdo.
Wow. Oh, that's,
So the interesting twist, though, and later we hear Jen, Shireen, and Mike talking, and it's, where's the rest of the food? That food would not last you for the whole rest of the game. That's what they think is this big. So they actually think he hid food, which, God, it almost like you're good if you do, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
But you know what the thing is? I thought to myself, wow, that's really paranoid, but that's how they started the show this season.
Well, I'm glad. So,
Yeah. But I mean, it was... Keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, we already saw this twist once, and then we see this, and I mean, because it's a game.
Right.
Why, part of the whole thing is let's start rumors about you not doing it. I mean, going back to, what was his name? Something with a K or something?
Joaquin?
No. Oh. Years ago, who had the beef jerky in his backpack, and...
What was his name?
The girl that was in love with Colby, most men's name. She was like, I was going to throw his backpack and get that.
Oh, yeah,
beef
yeah.
Beef jerky, and he has beef jerky.
Kellen or something like that.
Yeah, it just causes like, what? Oh, because you always want to kind of take away, oh, you were magnanimous and shared. I mean, we've seen it before with cars. Oh, you shared. Or was that one? Oh, I felt horrible. They won this thing, and then they let all the loved ones and their family go instead of them. And they sent back out, and then they're like, oh, sure, he's just trying to win votes and to get us on their good side. And they voted that person out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was with nerd Harvard guy. And when his family came... And they had to have like some little party on a like floating raft.
Yeah.
And then they, instead of it being like, wow, this person shared with us, they voted them out because it was like, oh, too many people are going to like you. So it's that odd.
The sad part is that kind of shit takes place in real life, too, not just on Survivor.
A lot of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And not for $1 million, show, people. By the way. Yeah. Not
it's
at all.
Just, you know, to be able to climb up the corporate ladder just one more miserable step.
Or get invited to another meeting because, you know,
Or be able to go to a party of some sort. Yeah. Or like, shit, Jesus.
So it was kind of, Will made this nice gesture. It failed in his face. Oh, well.
Now, to take, I've got two halves of this whole thing. So to summarize this, Will was almost bringing tears to my eyes.
No.
At the very beginning.
No,
of that,
he was not.
For me, he did, because the fact that he said, hey, you know, I should take this back to the group, and even
the Bible quote, you bought into the Bible quote?
No, I don't buy that shit. But the point is that he seemed at that moment to be genuine, even in the way that as he carried those bottles, he was so awkward with it. He looked like a little kid carrying them because they were coming out all over the place. And he did empty that thing. I mean, he did exactly what he said he was doing. It wasn't like he was trying to be sneaky. Like, from the camera's perspective, he was not being sneaky.
No, I know.
And stuff. And it did seem like he was trying to do the right thing at that moment. And then what happened?
I said, then they talked about him.
They talked about him. But then the thing that really got me was that the only person left because Mike and Jen were out.
Oh,
was
no.
Shireen.
Oh, Shireen.
Shireen.
Oh, well, no, I'm just talking about the whole fact of him sharing the food the food.
But I thought that was actually, it seemed to me genuine and stand up to a certain degree.
I think that's what I mean. This guy is a chameleon. Yes. It seemed like, hey, I want to do the right thing, and he did the right thing.
Yeah.
It backfired on him. But then Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, came out, and what the hell? I'm embarrassed for him. I mean, I am mortifyingly embarrassed for him on his behavior. If I were his wife, I'd be like, you need to apologize in public to that woman. Because he goes up to Shireen, and starts screeching at her, saying, you call me a liar and all this, and then turns it around. I don't even understand. You sit there and say, oh, women go off on tangents. This was the bitchiest move I have ever seen.
It was.
There was not a ball in his body that he deserved. Because he went off on her saying, no one likes her. No one loves her. Everyone hates her. She has no family. She has no friends. It was like,
it was very cruel. It was very cruel.
The hell. And Mike, I love him more every day. I love this man more. He walks in, like not in, but he sees what's going on. He takes her hand and is like,
and takes her out of there.
Get out of here. You don't need to listen to this.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she's caught up in the moment of like, paralyzed with someone is talking to me like this.
Yeah.
And second, then you want to defend yourself, but you don't understand. You can't defend yourself against crazy. This man is totally lunatic, bipolar, insane. You cannot negotiate with it. You cannot even talk with that.
That was the thing that got me. And as much as you think I'm a cold piece of shit because I might strategically pass on the family letter, which of course I would really, really, really want. The thing was that this one was so bad that I mean, there's like 1% of me that said, okay, it's survivor strategy. I guess it can slide. Then other 99% of me said that was one of the most callous things I've seen on Survivor. And it would actually be pretty callous just in real, very, very callous in real life too. I mean, there's only a very small, like maybe two people on Earth I would do that to gladly. Other than that, I wouldn't do it to them. I mean, that was just so bad. It was so bad.
Well, and it was so far-fetched. What day are we on? I didn't write it down. Like,
I think we have like about another 10 days left or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe 10 or 12 days.
You don't know this person. You may not like her, but you do not know her at all. And to go like, can you believe it, people? I'm the one bringing this up. God don't like ugly, and you're ugly.
Did he say that?
God don't like ugly.
Well, that to me is just sort of like it. That,
but it's like this whole. Oh my God!
That's because you still have a religious bone in your body. I don't. And to me, it's sort of like, oh, that's just typical hypocrisy.
No, yeah, but he says, oh, I'm supposed to do the right thing. I do the right thing, but then God don't do ugly, and it's like, and then take your bitch, Mike, and get out of here. I bet Mike was ready to fight him, but he's too mature, like in a good way, to do it. And he goes, hold it or something. And I don't stutter, bro. Shame on you, Will.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty, I think.
And way to go, Shireen. You should have walked away and not even tried to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
You did way better than me, because I would have tried to get in his face too.
Now, here's let me be really cold about this. Shireen.
I'm saying her name wrong.
I think that was absolutely horrible what Will did to you. However, to all Survivor players, I think you have to be ready for that and that anything. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that I think in life generally, but on Survivor, you just have to be ready to own stuff no matter how unpleasant it is.
I agree, but I think this team or group of people has this understanding of, they have a better understanding of it's a game, and what's played in the game is a game, not, you know, we had people who took things pretty personally.
Yeah.
But as they all said, this went way beyond the game. This went way beyond a normal human being saying this to someone that you've known for 20 some days.
I think it was probably one of the meanest things I've ever seen on Survivor, even considering people like Nyanka and other people who just really were nasty. And Abby, I think it was Abby,
Apprentice?
No. She was several seasons ago.
Oh, yes. Oh no, this was by far worse.
Yeah, this is one of the things that, you know, and I know people get really upset with me about it, but this is the type of shit that, you know, I think Will sits there and says, well, I'm a God-fearing man, therefore I do the good things and stuff like that. Well, no, you didn't, Will. That was really pretty shitty of you. And this is after you had demonstrated something that almost brought tears to my eyes on the other side of the coin. Where I almost just was falling in love with you because of the fact that you had, you know, big jars of food and you look like a little kid walking back from the beach and stuff like that. And then you did that. I have to admit that it was a roller coaster ride for me watching that happen. And I do think, though, it might have worked out well for Shireen, because I think that may have won her some points. I mean, it was just so cruel that you can't. You know, it's the Rodney King factor. You know, Rodney King was no angel. But after the L.A. cops beat the shit out of him, all of a sudden he's a fucking hero.
Well, I don't think that's a very good
analogy
in the sense, I don't think she's done anything. She's annoying to people.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that she's not a thief.
Well, that's what I mean. Right. It's different than the Rodney King thing. I mean, she's annoying to people and everyone doesn't get along with her personality.
I was being dramatic. I didn't say that she broke the law, or that the LA police had any reason to even pull her over, much less beat her to death with a club. But yeah.
But the point is that, like, you don't have to like everyone, people. If you don't get along with them, just move away. It's 40 fucking days.
Yes.
So Shame on you, Will. And I hope you do not go far.
Well, I didn't pick him as one of my favorites. I find him entertaining to a certain degree, although today was too much. But yeah, okay, got it.
Well, and part of it's at the beginning, he came across as this like lovable. Hey, yeah. I'm not the best at everything, but I'm really gonna try.
Yeah.
He's turned into an arrogant SOB who is bipolar. don't like you.
I don't necessarily think it's bipolar. I think that he's so comfortable in what he tries to portray himself as that he doesn't realize that he's not all that, which is what a lot of people are.
Well,
in that type of situation. But go ahead.
Shame on him.
Yep.
All right, immunity challenge. This is pretty cool.
Well, wait a second. Before you go there, let's discuss one other bit of drama that I think happened.
But right before the immunity challenge. So we have the sob story. We're all on the mat, and how's everyone doing?
Wait. Before that, even. At this point, they had the letters from home, right? They wanted to read them.
Oh, I thought this was weird.
Well, here's the thing that kind of got me, and this is something that I wanted. It's going to spring up a little bit later on. Mike goes ahead and says his piece about, you know, the
you all are an alliance. Wake up, the rest of you.
All an alliance and stuff like that. Rodney somehow is now saying Mike almost cost these people from getting their letters from home.
Bullshit. And luckily, Mike goes, y'all had your letters.
The thing was, though, is that Rodney said it loud enough, and something that you've always accused me of, which might be slightly true, and that is you think that if you can say something loudly enough that it becomes true, and there's some truth to that because it's not necessarily that it becomes true, but people believe it as being true, so the perception is that it's true. Rodney kept on beating into people's head, Mike almost cost you people getting your letters from home. Which was not true. They had the choice. Everyone had a choice to get letters from home. And then he said, and he ruined the moment for you. Well, if a little bit of drama, which is happening on Survivor, which, by the way, Survivor is built on drama, is going to ruin your letters from home, then maybe you have to realign your priorities, because what's happening is that you are, if that's going to fuck up your loved ones, some drama that's, by the way, designed in the game, then maybe your loved ones don't mean that much to you if that can knock you off. I would think that no matter what happened, if I were on Survivor and I got a letter from you and Gabrielle and Nicholas, and, you know, I think that they could have a tsunami going through there and people bitching at me and people telling me that no one loves me and stuff like that. If I got to read those letters, it really wouldn't make any difference. Because the letter would be strong enough. If Mike's trying to cover his tracks or say something or outing somebody is going to derail that, then, you know, they're kind of pussies. And Rodney is just being a bit of a drama queen. You know, like, oh, you're ruining the whole thing for everyone. You almost cost everyone for being able to get this. And it's sort of like, oh, God. And the thing that amazes me, though, and I'm not faulting Rodney completely on that, because those dumbasses are actually falling for it, I think. I don't know. But anyway, go ahead. So you're talking about the man.
Well, that, and I thought it was really stupid that people were like, you're ruining a good moment. What else do you people have to do?
Right.
You have 3 more days until the next challenge. So, oh my God, when will you read your letter?
72 hours of waiting around for shit to happen. At that point, drama is probably the closest thing you have to entertainment.
He ruined our moment. What moment? Read your letter. It's not the Sprint phone that expires in 30 seconds.
Right.
So you have time.
Exactly.
All right. So then we get to the mat, and it's immunity challenge, and Will, Jeff's not asking to be really honest with you, Will. He just has to say something. So he says, how's everyone doing?
Mm.
Okay. Not good,
Jeff. Not good.
Oh, God. Wow. How'd those tears get turned on so quickly, Mr. Macho?
Mm-hmm.
Sobs and says, you know what? Can I please have my letter? Because you know what? Family is more important than money. Then why, did you leave your family for over a month to come on a reality show, Mr. Family is more important than money?
And if that were the case, then why did you use that very same lever to completely annihilate a young woman?
Or try to, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
that's
course,
bullshit.
God, he's sobbing, and Jeff's like,
mm-hmm.
Jeff probably rolls his eyes of like, are you kidding me? So Jeff is, you know, okay, well, if everyone agrees to it, then we'll do it. And I thought, okay. And then you look in everyone's eyes, and I would love to know who else was going to raise their hand. And it's like, look, Sharin, blesses her whole soul, raises her hand. And she doesn't like, ha ha. She just
And she kept her mouth shut on a lot of it too.
And all she said was, I don't. What happened in the auction, you got what you paid for, yep. And so did everybody else.
Yep.
I don't agree. Yep.
And the thing was, I think she was well within her rights to say, by the way, you were a bitch to me at camp, and she did not.
I know.
She did not. She actually, I might put Sharin in my top four that got whittled down to top two and maybe make it a top three. Because as much as Sharin is annoying in a lot of ways, she does have some smarts there. And I'm trying to figure out whether it's because she's got the smarts or a sympathy vote or both or what. I don't know. But that was the way she handled herself on that was actually quite good.
Well, and I read somewhere someone said, oh, you know, she should take the high road and let him get his letter.
No, I think and she did the right
thing. There's no high road or low road. He's a psychopath. He was extremely cruel to her. She's not being malicious or cruel to him. I mean,
I think, go ahead.
He asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't agree.
Yep.
It's not like she, you know what I mean? I think there's a difference with, well, I don't appear. Maybe she was being horribly malicious, but she made it come across. She seems like one of those fair people, like,
yeah.
Nope, you said this.
Yep.
So, good for her.
Well, I think what it did show is it showed good business logic is what she did. She stated the business case on that, which I think was extremely fair and extremely.
Well, I don't think it's true. Business logic.
Yeah,
it's judicial.
It was,
but it's not business logic.
The business logic was you didn't pay for it, so you don't get it. Sorry.
Well, it's not judicial. Like, I think it's more. It's
okay. Then the it's rules judicial. Say.
But okay. The point, different.
But it was legal. And she didn't put emotion into it. And she left the emotion back at camp, which I thought was really good as far as that goes. I was very impressed with the way she did that. And the other thing, too, that I do like is the fact that I really, 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 really hate when people pull out the God thing when it's to their advantage. And I think that Will getting smacked down on that was good.
Well, I think he just got, here's what it is. So, I don't know.
Yep.
And if for another good reason all this happened, Kobe Archer wrote another little article about Survivor because he's been busy with his other stuff. So, he too applauds Miss Shireen.
Good. Good. Thank you, Kobe.
All right. So, the challenge was kind of cool. They have to use these metal tongs to pick up a ball, go across the teeter-totter, and place it on this rack. I am voting for Mike more than anything I can think of while I watch.
Yep.
This.
Yep.
Go, Mike. Go, Mike. Go, Mike. Go, Mike. Boom. He went. Oh, one thing I will say, what's his face? Will did. Okay, then bring it on. I'm ready for the challenge. She didn't sob.
Yeah, no, he
but
did.
Don't worry. He got bitchy again at the end.
Yeah.
And Mike wins. Thank heavens. And it's funny because everyone's mad. And
Mike dominated that.
There's
thing.
Jen. Good job, Mike. Not that any of you else want to say it.
I love Jen for that. I thought it was just total smart ass. And you're like, not that anyone else is saying it, but good job, Mike. It's sort of like, oh.
Yeah. All right. So, of course, Will promises the best tribal ever. Blah, blah, blah. What? No, actually, it wasn't. At tribal, you had Will going off. Shireen. You shouldn't have even shared your story with that idiot because you cannot talk to crazy. You had
I think she wasn't sharing it with him. She was sharing it with everyone else so they understood, and she did it with the audience in case there was a sprint thing. I think that was smart the way she
did
it.
Oh, and she told the jurors. You're right.
She told the jurors. Right. No. I think
okay,
she,
good job, Shireen.
Again, Shireen pull I'm it's official. Shireen's in my top three now. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, no, Shireen. I think Shireen did the damage control on that very well. She came in and did what she was supposed to do with that with Will, and I think she handled it very well. She's showing some good business acumen.
So Then Rodney goes off on
oh, God.
Mike and blah, blah, blah. And it's
again,
all,
a drama thing, too. I know. Not talking about the truth, either. It's like, oh, they ruined it for... Fuck you, Rodney.
Well, here's my only... And then the votes go in, and it's... Remember, we have 6 plus 3.
Oh,
so we have 9 people. Jen gets 5 votes. Shireen gets 3.
Wait a second. Wasn't 6 plus 3 is 4 plus 2 against
I know.
Three.
You didn't understand that. And it's like they're trying to explain to Dan and the person who we can't ever remember, Sierra.
Yeah.
You guys aren't in the Core Alliance. This is where it's always stupid sometimes you want to say to people, you have the power because you're in the 4 plus, you have the bigger numbers. Mm-hmm. But when you're at the bottom, coming in 6th really isn't going to get you any further. So make a move.
Yeah, but the thing is, so if they would have made a move against, they're in the bottom, but they're in the bottom of a one. Like if you're Dan, you can either be 1 of 6 and you know that you're not part of the top 4, or you can be 1 of 5.
Ooh, so I get about a 5th or 6th.
Wait a second. Okay, okay. Here's the thing on that, and this is important, and this is where Carolyn played it right. The only problem was is that I could see through her business bullshit, and she said no, it's 6, and it says no, it's 4 plus 2 is what it is, and the thing was is that you had if Dan not only would it be 1 of 5, and who's the one who's the, we don't can't remember now.
Sierra
was 1 of 5. Both of them were 1 of 5 on a team with Mike, who was, is still, I think, kind of bound illogically so, but bound nonetheless emotionally to the blue collars. So they were basically, they could have been 1 of 3 as opposed to 1 of 5 because the other two were Jen and Shireen. God damn it, I can't get these names right. Shireen. And Shireen is somebody who has annoyed enough people that, you know, her, she's kind of a bit of a wild card. Jen doesn't want to be there. So at that point, it would make more sense. And you know, Shireen was smart in saying, look, no, it's 4 plus 2. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn was smart in trying to cover that up and saying, oh, no, it's 6. But it really was 4 plus 2. Mm-hmm. And it's not only 4 plus 2, it was 4 plus 2 with extra flavor crystals because of the fact that you had Mike, who is emotionally charged with this whole blue collar thing.
Yeah.
And of course, those two were part of the Blue Collar Alliance. Or blue collar original tribe.
But part of me is wondering.
Yeah.
And this could be super far-fetched.
Yeah.
You had 5 for Jen, 3 for Shireen, and 1 for Carolyn, who pretty sure it was Jen who voted for Carolyn.
No, I know Jen voted for Carolyn, and what happened was that Mike and Shireen voted for Jen, is what it was.
Okay.
They turned on her.
So I'm very, very curious. If, as you put it, outwit, outlast, outplay, outdrama.
Yeah.
Are Rodney, Dan, and Mike still as strong as ever in their blue force and are playing everybody? Ooh. And they pulled Shireen in because she was a wild card and they did kind of need people.
Oh, my. I now see, I was thinking something less... I was thinking maybe they just didn't show some stuff and Mike and Shireen decided, well, Jen's going to wants to go anyway. And so let's just make this, you know, kind of like buy ourselves another day type of thing. But oh, my. Oh, that's devious
Cause
of Kelly's, your thinking.
Because Kelly's good. Out, but that was right before the merge.
Right.
So they couldn't save her, but notice when they've all come back, they've kind of separated, but yet, because so Sierra's the quieter 4-2.
Yeah.
You have Rodney thicken with the 4, and then you have, now it just looks like Mike and Shireen.
Oh, That would
if they
be,
did that, that would be beautiful.
That would be extremely good thinking on their part. That would I'm gonna say that it's only about a 30% chance that that's true, but that would be good. That would be good. That's evil.
Yeah.
Where do you come up with such evil thoughts?
Oh, we'll leave that one for everyone's guess.
Indeed.
That's my, I'm wondering.
Well, that is a thought to be thought for the rest of the week. Do we have any communications from people? We have a letter. Cool. Why don't you read it?
All right. Oh, I just love the beginning. Well, hallelujah! The people have spoken, and Queen Margie has listened, and she hath forbade the court jester from performing the podcast by his lonesome. Three cheers for Queen Marjorie.
What?
I like you got my name right, shortened M-A-R-J-I, and my full name right.
Excuse me. I am the court jester. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I think sometimes... And probably if I just did it by myself, too, people wouldn't like it because it's just one-sided. Well, a lot has happened.
It sounds like somebody wouldn't mind if you were the only person on.
Well, a lot has happened since your last podcast. Jen got the business end of a bee in, well, I guess her business end. That's funny. Did you hear that bee just before it stung? I mean, good God, it sounded like a 747 taking off. Are the survivors wearing twat mics now? Oh, God. Oh, but she was dreaming of that twat mic as she was sitting up there. Oh, God. Rodney has compared himself to Batman, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Luke Longley, Tom Brady, Robert De Niro, and Mike Tyson. I'm pretty sure we're going to get a Steve Jobs comparison before the season's over. I doubt
it, too.
Shireen got to go on a reward. How cool would it have been if she did the zip line bottomless? We could have heard her whistling through the forest. Also, I'm hoping we get to see Rodney's mom at the reunion show.
Well, I got to take that in. Whistling. That is almost Conchita worthy. That's making up for the fact that this guy hates me. But go ahead.
Yeah. I'm hoping we get to see Rodney's mom at the reunion show. We've heard from Dan that she's a whore. We've heard from Lindsay that she has questionable child-rearing skills. Best of all, we've heard from Rodney himself that she is some kind of bipedal mermaid that when grazed upon by us mere mortal men, we felt compelled to hit on her. Please, what? CBS, let us meet this enchanted creature. Well, now that enemy
Rodney's
number
mom.
One, yeah, number one is gone. And I mean, Joey Amazing.
Rodney's
I know, darn
mom
it.
Has got it going on. Rodney's mom has got it going on. Yeah, okay, got it. I'm just imagining this thing.
All right. Now that enemy number one is gone, Joey Amazing. I like that.
Yeah.
Short of making us love Joe, I know that he would have been on this season's Malcolm or Spencer, and I just didn't feel the same about Joe as I did about them. I didn't dislike him, but I also didn't dislike the people who took him down. Unlike the aforementioned players, I really can read sometimes, people. Mm-hmm. Unlike the aforementioned players, Nemesis Chaos, Cass and Lisa Welchel, I found myself despising them. Isn't that what a good editing job should do? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anywho, I feel I've rambled on long enough.
That's quite all
I hope
right.
you find time to put together a podcast this week. Also hope we hear
we
from
did.
Kiwi Scott. Trust me, if I could talk like him, I wouldn't be typing this shit. Here, I'd be calling in. Oh, that was really good.
Kiwi has both the vocabulary, which, by the way, this guy does too, and he's got the accent, which then makes it all... he could just say anything in that accent, I think.
Well, yes.
Conchita has the accent, too.
Well, and I wonder, we don't know
she
where...
She can say anything, too.
And that was courtesy of Bob. I think her. I forgot to say his name. We don't know if Bob has an accent or not.
We can't tell what... Bob, record something.
Bob, I think you're from the East Coast.
Yeah, we record something so we can hear your accent. I think it'll work.
Please do. Well,
yeah.
Or just keep writing.
Yeah.
Just imagine your voice. It's fine.
Yeah, it makes Margie happy for the rest of the week. Happy wife, happy life. Of course, I feel... slighted. And
no, he doesn't. He loves it. He loves it.
Feel the hate.
He loves it.
And I feel the hate.
And Kiwi had a crazy week, and so he has hoped he will be back here next week to call in too.
Yep.
And everyone else, call in. It makes it fun. Share your opinion. Heaven knows we have our opinions, so we're welcome to listen in to yours too, and let us know what you think of the show, about our show afterwards. If you think my plot twist that the Blues are really together, let us know.
Cool. I agree. Well, we'll see you next. Oh, by the way, the number is 234-525-1549 to call in. You could also hit us up on
email
at show@armchairsurvivor.com, or you can go to our website at armchairsurvivor.com, and you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Talk to you later.